Have your Bibles, please open up to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to be looking at the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea in light of this baptism this morning. Once you find Exodus chapter 14, please stand as we read God's Word. Exodus chapter 14, and I will start in verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. The word of the Lord says, "Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry land, on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and to their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. Of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses." Would you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you that you have revealed your character and your power and your faithfulness to us through the scriptures. And each day you minister to us through your Holy Spirit as you encourage us in the truths of who you are and what you have done for your people. So, Father, we ask that this morning as we look at your word, that you would come in power in this place, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and drive it deep into our hearts. It would divide between flesh and marrow, God. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us this morning, that we would rejoice, that in this morning where we've seen these two young brothers baptized, that we would celebrate with them in their baptism and celebrate our own baptism of how you have saved us from our sins, God. So we give you thanks and ask that you would bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, as we've already seen this baptism before us, I really wanted us, and I talked to Ben about this, I wanted us to think deeply about what we've just seen a couple minutes ago. I didn't want any of us to leave this morning, myself included, without having thought more deeply about what it was that we just witnessed take place with Noah and Isaac. So, I've chosen the passage of the Israel's crossing through the Red Sea. Now, if you were like me, which maybe some of you are in this way, I remember every year on Easter Sunday, the one thing that I could count on every night, starting at about 7 p.m., was watching The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston. And I'll never forget, every Sunday night, I would go in with my family, and we'd watch Charlton Heston stand there, and the scene where he stands at the Red Sea, and the waters part, is forever burned into my mind. Because the thought of hundreds of feet of water and millions of tons of water being held back by the power of God, and not just water being separated by the power of God, but the scriptures this morning have told us that the ground before them was made dry. And I'll never forget that this one scene in the Ten Commandments where the sea parts and the Israelites walk through the Red Sea divided. They get to the other side. Obviously, Charlton Heston raises up his arms and then the sea falls back on the Egyptians. Maybe some of you have seen that movie. Maybe some of you also were raised in Vacation Bible School, where If you remember the song we would sing, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, baby, let my people go. Yeah. That was a song that some of you may have sang in VBS. Either way, the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea is one that's familiar to most people. Whether you saw it on television, whether you were raised in the church or not, most people have been exposed to this story because they've seen Charlton Heston acting it out. Or you might have been raised in the church in Vacation Bible School, and you know this song. But the thing that I really want us to consider this morning is, what is the significance of that story? And what does the Scriptures teach us about the significance of that story? Now, I know for the past several weeks, Pastor Ben has been leading Vine Street in a study through the Scriptures of seeing how all of the Scriptures are united with one thing, pointing to the person of Christ. And so you've looked at the story of Adam in the garden. You've looked at the story of Noah. You've looked at the story of Abraham. And I believe also you've already looked at the Passover story. So this story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea immediately falls upon the heels of Ben's last sermon, which was on the Passover meal. And the thing I want to reiterate or encourage again is the idea that there is one author of Scripture, that is God Himself, who has inspired men throughout centuries and centuries to record these things for the purpose of displaying that that the entire Bible is about the person of Christ. Jesus Himself said this in Luke chapter 24. He's on the road to Emmaus and He's traveling with these two men. And He begins, it says, to starting with the laws of Moses and to the prophets, He begins to teach them that all of the Old Testament was about Himself. And so this morning I want us to again follow in the tradition of Jesus, pointing out that all of the Scriptures in the Old Testament point to Himself, following in the tradition of the church and all of our fathers in the church who have led us to see that the way that we interpret Scripture is seeing how it points to Christ. And also when we do that, we should let the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that there are passages in the Old Testament, there are stories here, that the New Testament writers take a point to comment on. And they may say, like a few weeks ago, you looked at the story of Noah. Remember this? And I listened to Ben's sermon online. And he talked about the story of Noah. And then he took you to the book of the books of 1 and 2 Peter, where Peter brings up this story about Noah and relates it to baptism. And so again, I want us to follow along in this tradition this morning, in the way that Christ has taught the Scriptures and the way the church has taught the Scriptures, to look and see how the writers of the New Testament comment on these passages in the Old Testament. So we've read the story about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and I just want to point out a couple things before we move into the New Testament commentary here. First of all is the significance of water in the story. Now, I'll be real honest with you. When I began to prepare for this Sunday and I was going to speak on baptism, I literally had about 2 pages of a sermon written out, and I went back and I started listening to Ben's sermon, and I realized, oh, Ben's already preached on baptism. Ben's already used 1 and 2 Peter, and I'm being serious here that there were several sentences in my sermon that I prepared before that Ben had already literally said to your church. So I want to follow in this idea of baptism, but look at its significance for us this morning. And one of the things that you saw and that we saw in the story of Noah is the idea that in the story of Noah, the waters that covered the earth represented God's judgment that was over the earth. But even in the midst of that judgment, God was saving for Himself a people, a family, a small little family of 8 people that He had, even in the midst of His judgment, because there was so much wickedness on the earth, that even in the midst of that, God was saving a people for Himself. So we see again in this story the significance of water as being a sign of God's judgment. But I don't want you to miss out on the point that just as the water was on both sides, can you imagine that the people of Israel are walking through and the judgment of God, these great waters are on their right and to their left, but right in front of them is a dry path, is dry land that they were able to pass through. And it was God's grace to them. It was God's mercy to them that this water did not fall on them on the right or to the left, but ended up falling on the Israelites, or on the Egyptians. And that picture is, again, the same picture that we've seen this morning here in the baptism of Isaac and Noah. So if you would, turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to follow again in this tradition of the inspired writers of the New Testament and their commentary on these passages from the Old Testament. And again, I just want to encourage you that the reason that we allow the scriptures to interpret scriptures is because since we believe that the New Testament writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit, we must take their interpretations of these Old Testament passages above our own opinions and thoughts. And so Paul begins here in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and I'll read through verse 7. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, we're seeing Paul's interpretations of these, of really some of the key stories of the life of the Israelites. He talks about how they were guided by the cloud, which we read that already in Exodus chapter 16. He says how they passed through the sea, which we just read. He comments and says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. Those things that he's referring to, we read later on in the book of Exodus when, you remember that story when manna begins to fall from heaven as God provides for them miraculously this bread for them to eat. And then later he provides for them water because they're out in the wilderness and all of a sudden this rock gushes forth with water and they're able to drink from that. So Paul is commenting that, but I want us to see in verse 6 here what he's saying. He says, now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Paul's saying a couple things here. First, he's saying these events actually occurred. The crossing of the Red Sea, the manna falling from heaven, the water coming from the rock, these are actual, literal, historical events. But Paul says also that these things are pointing to something greater. They're pointing to the reality of Christ. Verse 3, he says, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So what he's saying here is that, and he's helping us to interpret and understand these passages and these stories in the Old Testament, that they are literal events that happened in time and space and in history. And as they happen, they are representative of the spiritual realities that we as believers have inherited through our new covenant with Christ. Ben talked about that new covenant a little bit earlier in this service. And so a lot of these key passages and stories that happened to the nation of Israel are representative of the spiritual inheritance that we receive through Christ. Ben also talked about this already, that there are two graces that Christ has given to his church. The first grace that in which we're initiated into is through baptism, which we've seen this morning. And the second is the Lord's Supper. And I hope you see what Paul is doing here. He's pointing out there's a correlation. He says that just as we have every week we have to us baptism, we have the Lord's Supper that Christ has given to us. He says the nation of Israel, they also had food and drink from God. The nation of Israel also had a baptism from God. But the point that Paul's saying here is just as we have an inheritance from Christ, the nation of Israel also had an inheritance of Christ. But don't be fooled. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Obviously, we know that the New Testament teaches, Christ himself teaches, that he is the living water. In John chapter 4, in John chapter 6, he says he is the bread of life, that Christ is the fulfillment of this story, that in obedience to Christ, we follow through in baptism as our witness to the world. And so Christ has fulfilled these things, but let us take heed to the charge that Paul has given to the church at Corinth, and he's using the Israelites as an example here. He says, don't be fooled. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased with them, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. So, why am I bringing this up this morning? Because what has happened this morning as we've witnessed the baptism of Isaac and of Noah is of incredible importance, of course, for those two individuals, when they experience the benefits of blessing, but also for you as a congregation, because I hope that as we watch each of those young brothers go down into the water and they are raised up out of the water, just as Ben said, that they were, that they are buried into death with Christ, and they're raised with Christ in the newness of life. I hope that when we're watching that as a community, each one of you and myself, that we are reminded of the significance of our own baptism, of each one of you who are followers of Christ. That when we watch a baptism this morning, that it's not a thing where we casually clap our hands and applaud these people, but it's something which we ourselves are intimately involved in because we're reminded that it is God who has saved us. And the story of the Israelites in the Red Sea is an incredible representation, a very vivid picture of how God has saved us from His judgment. And the baptismal waters, for each one of us, are an individual experience of God saving us from His judgment. Just as the Israelites, and I hope you noticed earlier when we were reading through the passage in Exodus chapter 16, did you notice that that Moses took it a point to say that the water was on their left and to the right, but it did not fall on them? And later he makes the point to say that it ended up falling on the Egyptians. That God's judgment fell on the Egyptians, but not on His chosen people, not on the ones whom He loved, and He was leading through destruction. He was leading them through judgment because He had saved them for a particular purpose. And so when we watch the baptismal service, when we watch our brothers go down into the water, we're seeing them being raised from God's judgment and into newness of life. When they come out of that water, they gasp for air, right? Because if they were held under that water, they wouldn't be able to survive. But instead, they're brought out of that. And in that, the resurrection of Christ is being pictured to each one of us in a vivid way. And just as the resurrection of Christ is pictured in baptism, we are seeing how we are saved from our sins. Just as the Israelites themselves were saved from God's judgment, they were able to pass through the judgment waters in the Red Sea. They came out on dry land, and they were not harmed through that. And so this morning, when we watch this baptismal service, when we watch our brothers be baptized, I hope that we are reminded of ourselves, of how God, it is God who has saved us. It is God by His grace that He does not leave us in the water, but He raises us up into the newness of life with Christ. That our sins have been paid for through Christ's atoning death, but it doesn't stop there. He raised from the dead, and through His rising from the dead, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And so I hope that when we encounter a baptism, and I hope that when we have a baptism service, that it's not something that we casually applaud for, but it's something which each of us are intimately reminded of our own baptism and to encourage one another to persevere in the faith. That we would not take lightly the call to encourage one another while it still is today, that we would encourage each other, like Paul says, with hymns and spiritual songs and praises throughout the day, because we know that the reality of our life here on earth is very difficult at times, and we need that encouragement. And so Paul says here in verse 6 that these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil that they did. This morning we've been able to witness one of Christ's graces to His church. And I hope that we would be encouraged from Paul's words here, actually words of warning, that we would learn from the Israelites and we would not take casually the things Christ has given us. What he's saying is they had been given manna from heaven. They had been given water from a rock. They had been passed through the Red Sea. And there were many of them that took that very casually. And God was not pleased with that. And so to those of you this morning who are followers of Christ, to those of you who have been baptized in Christ and are followers of Him, let us be encouraged this morning and let us not take these things lightly. Let us celebrate what we've seen this morning, the lives of Isaac and Noah, and let us again be reminded of God's saving power in our life. And so, where does that apply? How does that apply to our life? Where does this lead us to? And I hope that we would hear Paul's words in verse 7. He says, "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Let us not take the things that Christ has given us for our strength. Let us not take that casually. Let us not take our Christian community casually. Let us not take when we observe baptism or even our own baptism casually. But the fruit of these things should be joy and righteousness and holiness and the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope that this morning that we are encouraged as we watch this baptism take place behind us, that it's not something that we leave here this morning and just know that we've been able to watch, but our souls are stirred deeply to live lives of holiness and lives of righteousness, that we wouldn't slander about our brother, our sister, our neighbor, that we would not lie, that we wouldn't gossip, that we wouldn't have idols in our life. I'm someone that I confess before you that idolatry is something that I have struggled with very intensely and still do on a daily basis. Where I allow men or women become idols in my place where I find my security in other things apart from the person of Christ. And so this morning, let us be reminded through this baptism that Christ is sufficient, that it is Christ who has saved us from God's judgment waters, that just as the Israelites were able to pass through the waters on dry land before us, Christ has already given us that. He has already saved us. We have been buried with Him, and we are raised to newness of life through His resurrection. It's for those of us who believe, who have believed upon that death for the forgiveness of our sins and believe in His resurrection for the newness of our life, let us rejoice in that. And let us seek lives of holiness, of purpose, and obedience to the Scriptures. There are so many things in the New Testament where Paul and the New Testament writers tell us, don't be jealous, don't be angry, do not slander, do not malice. And we could go on and on and on about the things that truly the New Testament makes clear to us that we must avoid in our lives. And so this morning, let us be reminded from this baptism that our own baptism is pictured here this morning. And because of that, we have been raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. So because of that, let us pursue lives of holiness. And I pray this morning that we too would also be able to share in the privilege of this baptism, to share in the fellowship and the celebration that we have in our brothers being baptized this morning. And as we do that we would pray Psalm 32, 6 and 7, which says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him, for you are our hiding place, and you will protect us from trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you this morning that our Lord Jesus has saved us from sin and from our own judgment. He himself has made a dry path before us, and we've seen that pictured here in baptism. And so I pray that we would celebrate that this morning. And as a result of that, we would live lives of obedience and holiness to the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we do give you thanks for this beautiful picture that you've given us this morning. Father, we do give you thanks for our Lord Jesus, through whom you have saved us. And it is pictured most perfectly through baptism this morning that we have seen. So, Father, we thank you for calling out Isaac and Noah. We thank you for the pictures you've given us this morning, but we also thank you for the picture you have given us through the Israelites, God. And we pray that we would learn from them. And we pray that we would not be idolatrous, that we would not willfully sin against you, but we would live lives of joy and dedication and holiness to you. Father, strengthen us this morning. Let us share in the joy of this baptism as we celebrate the victory which you have.